Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Recording.
Hi, you're listening to Fail Like an Artist with your hosts, Julie Battisti.
And me, Phoebe Ganza. A podcast discussing all the ways we've failed as artists, with insight, advice and humour.
Each episode, we will discuss a failure and what we've learned from it.
Hello, yeah. Hello.
I feel like... Sorry, I was just about to say, I feel like we should probably re-record the intro.
Oh, wow.
Welcome. What a... We'll do that at the end.
All right.
Maybe at the end we should just do a little sort of I don't know. I just suddenly realised, like, it's a bit of a lie.
No, you're overthinking it. It's not a lie.
Each week, we will Whenever not we have be time. Here. We will not be discussing anything. Dot that again, as if we didn't just
As if we seamlessly didn't miss anything.
It's like when I realised when I tried my roller skates on over the summer and I hadn't done it since like pre-pandemic. And you know when it's like, I thought it'd be like riding a bike, but it's not like riding a bike. Literally, I don't remember how to do any. You know when you think, it's muscle memory. No, it's not. This is what this feels like. I can't remember what to do.
It's got not the muscle memory. To show for it.
I'm like, what is this? So many buttons, so many pieces to plug in. Anyways, okay. Do-lo-lo-lo. You supposed to say howdy doody.
Howdy doody, Phoebe.
Howdy doody, Julie.
Oh,
it feels so good to say that.
I know, it feels like it's been a million years.
It has been a million years. It's almost like we had a government-mandated break for 3 months. Oh, it's been a lot. It's been a minute. It's been a while.
It has been. I don't even know how to dig in. I feel like it's like last time we caught up, where it's like if we try and catch up on 2 and a bit months worth of catch up, I don't know.
No.
We'll still be here recording next week and no one will still ever get a podcast. So. Yeah.
We should probably just kind of explain why we maybe haven't been around for those people that, because I think people, some people are not, keeping up to date with my life quite as closely as, So, I mean, it's been obviously the summer, which has meant children at home. So that was always going to be a break. But then during the summer, I decided to enroll in my postgraduate degree in primary school teaching. So that kind of is a bit of a curveball and has meant that the trajectory of my life as an artist has taken a slight turn and has meant that I'm not quite doing the same level of arting as I was pre 2004. So I guess that in a nutshell is why, plus things like your house renovations and COVID and other things that have also meant that we haven't managed to record.
Yeah, the stars just haven't aligned at both of us being free at the same time. Yeah. So, I mean, as is, I'm out in the studio today, which is probably less than ideal. So if it's a little bit echoey, it was this or nothing. So
oh. I'm sure people will take this over nothing. From the amount of messages I get, I'm pretty sure that they won't care if you sound like you're talking with a sock in your mouth. They just want to hear us, I guess, chatting, which is so nice. It's so nice to be missed.
Yeah, it has been. And thank you so much, everyone, for the messages. It's been really lovely to hear from you that you want to hear from us. So, yeah. I mean, I think we should circle back around to study, because I think that's a really important mm-hmm. thing to touch on and how you think that'll impact your art practice and whatnot.
Mm.
But I know that you got a little bit of studio time in yesterday, and I also followed your January 31 day creative practice. I know that probably feels like it was a lifetime ago now.
It does. It actually does.
But yeah. Do you want to share any like studio updates from the past couple of months?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can. I'll circle back to that. I think because it has been quite strange because I was in the studio every day. I didn't miss a single day of my 31 days of creative practice, which wasn't really intentional. I had gone in with a very loose, open mind. But once I started doing that, I decided to do it early in the morning every day before the kids got up. And it became just like a really lovely ritual that I really enjoyed. And actually, I looked forward to, like, I'd go to bed and I'd be kind of excited about getting up early to go in the studio. And I think I've really realized that I'm best in the morning. I like my brain just works better first thing.
That's and when you're
sort
creative.
Of turns off about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to be honest. Sort of powers down around then. So and that was just lovely. And I didn't really know what I was going to do, and I decided fairly last minute to pull out my my jelly plate, which is a, for those that don't know, I'll link in the show. We're gonna have show notes. I don't know if we do.
Probably not.
Share a link we'll somewhere. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I can put a link somewhere to what that is, because it's a bit hard to explain. But it's a kind of printing plate that's soft, and so it's a really quick way of creating prints without using a lot of the normal kind of paraphernalia that you might need. You can really easily just, all you need is the gel plate, a brayer, and any kind of paint. So I used acrylic paint. So and then you can add, you know, make stencils and press found objects into it and all sorts of stuff like that. So I decided to create a different print every day, sometimes two, mainly using paper stencils, which was very different from what, you know, I'd been doing previously. Similar sort of subject matter. I think I picked some, you know, still life concepts and things, but it harked back a lot to my textile design days when I was using the same kind of techniques. So it felt really nostalgic, and I realized I was using a lot of the same colors that I'd used when I did my textile design degree and things like that. And yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I had a lot of great feedback about that as well. So it was nice, because I kind of thought, oh my god, this is so different to what I've been doing the past year. Like, is everyone going to unfollow me by the end of the month after 31 of these? You know, because it feels, sometimes you just feel a bit like, I don't know, like every day posting feels a bit much. And then I had to remind myself, like, literally takes half a second for someone to scroll past. So.
And you know, I follow you and have you on like alert, and I didn't see them all. Like, I had to go and search for them some days.
Yeah, so you're not, you know, they're not getting in people's face every single day. So it's, I don't know, that's still a hang-up of mine, which, yeah, it doesn't go away, folks. Just told you. Anyway. And it was during that I was, like, accepted onto the teaching diploma, well, postgraduate teaching degree. So I've got a degree already, which means, like, in this country you can just do a one-year postgraduate teaching degree if you already have a BA honours degree. And the course had already started, but I sort of got on a bit late, and that was a bit stressful. Julie, you were very kind to me when I was in the throes of just kind of stress and despair. Distance is always a good thing after those moments, I think, because at the time, you know, even if we'd had time to record, I'm actually glad we didn't, because I was in a really quite vulnerable place when I made the decision to, like, go ahead and do it, even though it felt right, you know, and so many green flags and so many reasons why it was right, and I knew deep down it was a good decision, it's still hard to pivot in such a massive way from what I was doing previously. Yeah, and I think I did sort of feel like I'd made the ultimate fail of giving up, you know, on the art, even though I know I haven't given up. I've just pressed pause for a while. But I think because I hadn't had like time to process that and I didn't make the decision sort of slowly. It was a sort of, I wouldn't say impulsive decision, but I thought I was going to do it maybe in a year's time. I'd sort of started to think about it as maybe something for the future. And then the opportunity was like, why not, you know, my husband and I sat down and we kind of had a conversation and it was kind of like, why not just do it now? Just do it now and see. And then once the wheels were in motion, it was, it gathered momentum quite a lot quicker than I thought. And then all of a sudden it was like, I'm doing it. This is it. I'm doing it. And so it was quite hard for me to switch gears and go from like, you know, one lane to U-turn and I'm going down the other way.
It's quite a big adjustment, like moving to study full time. I am not surprised that you felt a little bit overwhelmed at the beginning, especially like it's a big change in how you operate and all that sort of stuff.
I think it's, you know, it's been a long time. I mean, it's literally been 20 years since I did my secondary teacher training in England 20 years ago, which I only did for a year before kind of realizing that wasn't really for me. And then we moved to New Zealand and then like life took a completely different course and ended up with children and da da da. So 20 years of not using your brain in that way is a really long time. And so, yeah, it felt like just the academic side of things felt very scary. And I guess I didn't have the faith in myself that I've actually got the intelligence, I suppose, to do it at the beginning. I feel like I'm much more, I suppose, confident doesn't quite feel like the right word, but I don't feel quite as a fish out of water as I felt at the beginning now. And I've been in school for the past 2 weeks doing my first placement, and that felt really great. And that was like so, like, reassuring, really, because I really enjoyed being there, and I love the kids and just the energy. And I did teach an art lesson that I sort of came up with them, and that was just so good. And I was like, oh, I love this. This is great. Yeah, I can see myself doing this and loving it, and I know that that will feed into my practice and give me. Well, the ultimate reason is that I need to have something that's going to provide an income that is not going to suck the soul out of my art, which is what last year felt like. And I, you know, I've had a lot of messages from people who've felt the same thing. And, you know, it's no secret that a lot of artists are having to pivot and find a second income or even, you know, step away from art a lot at the moment. And so, you know, I'm just another one of those people that has made that choice. And I wanted to do it from a place of empowerment rather than a place of failure and feeling like I'm giving up and it didn't work. And, you know, because instead of thinking of it like that, I wanted to think of it like, right now I just don't have the energy to be an entrepreneur. I don't have the energy to really hone my skills and become the best version of and create the best art that I want to create whilst also holding in my head the fact that I need to sell it. and I need to find places to sell it and people to sell it for me. Those holding those two things at once became too much and too stressful. And then the joy was not there anymore the same way it had been a few years ago. And that to me was when the alarm bells started to ring that I can't, this isn't sustainable for me. And I'd already sort of hit burnout like halfway through the year. And I could see that this was just, it's just, it wasn't about giving up and failing. It was more about recognizing.
Releasing the tension means, almost, I'd say.
Yeah. And just that art means too much to me to give up on. You know, it meant too much to keep going and destroy the love I have for it. And it was more of a case of, I guess, self-preservation and preserving that relationship with my art by pivoting and finding something else that I equally have the capacity and can find an enjoyment in that will give me an income as well. And that will also give back, you know, and it's like, I think I am the sort of person, and I think it probably has come across with my Instagram and the podcast, like you, I don't like to just take, I do like to give back. And so this is just another way that I can give back. And I think that it's a very underrated kind of skill to teach. And when you have the desire to do it, you should step into it and celebrate that.
Teaching can be so marvelous. It's I'm stoked to hear that you're finding your way into the classroom, and I feel like it will give you confidence in a whole bunch of different areas as well, because I feel like one thing that might actually surprise people about you is that you have previously been, I think confidence has gotten in your way, like lack of it has gotten in your way a bit. And I think because sometimes I look at you and I think you're so talented, like you've got so much stuff going for you in like within your art practice and also your personality. Like I feel like you're one of those people that is uniquely set up to deliver a message or a product. Do you know what I mean? Like I always look at your feed and I'm like, oh, she's so funny or gorgeous or, and I'm just like, why doesn't she believe in her? And then I feel like sometimes over the past year when we've been delving into the podcast stuff, it's been like, oh, I didn't get a degree or I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. And I think one thing that I learned from teaching is that I was teaching myself as much as I was teaching the kids. And I know that when you did your one-on-one classes for the kids workshops and stuff last year, you came out of it and you felt quite tired, but you also that afternoon and that evening when I spoke to you, you were totally buzzing in that I taught someone something and I saw them get it. And when you see that little light bulb moment, it's really special. I'm really excited to see where this takes you, like how it changes your art practice. And I think sometimes it's finding some confidence in your own mark making is not, it's not a small thing. And also when you take away that pressure to, I need to sell this to make a living, I think it does release some tension in your work and frees you up to do what you want as opposed to what you think you should do.
Definitely. Yeah. And I haven't really ever had that. And that's the thing, because I've gone from being full-time mum into starting the art and then realizing, you know, oh gosh, we need a second income. And as much as I've tried to be as free creatively as possible, it's kind of impossible to turn off that voice in your head of like, I do, you know, need to make this, somebody buy this, because this is my job. And if I can have another job, and you know, I'm not looking at doing I'm not looking at being a teacher full time. That's not the plan. I want to work part time. You know, ultimately, that would be the ideal. Would be part time teaching, so that I still have 2 or 3 days a week that I can focus on my practice and do that with complete freedom. And then if I sell something, it will be an absolute cherry on the cake bonus. And how marvelous that someone wants to buy it. But at the end of the day, it won't be causing me stress when I look at my bank account and see that, you know, that piece in that gallery still hasn't sold. And that, or someone's asked me if I want to take part in something, but that means buying the canvases and that, you know, da da da, and I haven't got the money for that. And oh gosh, do I have, you know, applying for a grant? Oh, I got rejected. Da, da, da. You know, constant feeling like you're just chasing your tail and you're not really making art from that place of joy that was the reason that I wanted to do it. So, you know, I've just got to sort of put my head down this year and get through the study. And try to carve out little bits of time where I can to do a bit of art, which I did do this, like you said, I did do this weekend, and I hadn't really done anything since January. So I'd actually found it really hard to go in my studio.
Aww. I'm glad you did. And we're back!
Okay. I didn't even paint in there. I had to paint at the kitchen table.
Oh, really? Anyway, so I'll give you a beat. So this year,
I'm okay.
We might record slightly less often than last year as we sort of just find our new momentum together. But I think it will be really interesting for the listeners for us to chat about how you're finding your little bits of time, how you're finding your momentum again when you're not painting every day. There's lots of stuff that I think are very common for, do you know what I mean? I know even after a holiday last week, I came back and I was just itching to get back into the studio, but it was still like, oh, how do I start my day again? Like, what's this ritual? How do I?
Yeah, I knew that I couldn't do, I've got a still life painting that's, I would say, quarter of the way through. And I sort of looked at it and I thought, I just haven't got the mental capacity to do that. As much as I really, it's a really nice painting and I really want to finish it, I think it might go on the back burner for a while. And so I decided to just do some abstract work. I just feel like, again, a bit like the jelly printing that I did in January. For me, doing anything that involves the, I don't know which part of my brain it is, but it's a different part of my brain from the all the parts of my brain.
Part of my brain.
I literally feel like my brain is like, you know, if you like went in a chemist's and like in the olden days and there was like millions of little drawers. What's it called? Apothecary? What's that word?
Apothecary. I'm not going to try. I can't do it either.
Someone out there is saying it. Yeah. One of the, those. It feels like that sometimes, and there's just all these little drawers, and it's like which drawer is easy to access right now, and it feels to me like that doing something abstract. I'm not to say that abstract art is easier, because that's not what I mean. It's just more accessible for me, and it is much more therapy sort of. It feels more like therapy. I think because there's no wrong in it, whereas doing the, yeah, I guess that's probably what it is. It's the still life I've got is I really want to finish it. It's of a glass and it's lots of refracted light and shadows and things. But because I've really been immersed in this study and it's quite academic heavy, you know, lots of all the words and the knowledge and all of this, and I have to get it right in order to, you know, pass. I've got to meet the rubric criteria of the assignment to pass, and so I'm constantly using that part of my brain that's like checking I've done everything right and making sure that I haven't missed stuff, and that it feels a little bit too similar to when I'm painting like a still life painting, because I'm working from a reference, and there is a right and a wrong, you know. There is a, if I do that mark there, you know, does it look like the reference? Because that's, you know, what my aim, I'm not talking about other people, but that's my aim, is like I want the painting to look real by the end, with obviously a twist that it's not a photograph. I'm not talking about that, but it has to look like a glass.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I think you do use different parts of your brain. I know with one of my friends, when she's doing abstract works, she'll be listening to music and just sort of feeling her way through it. I actually think it's hard. I think abstract work in a lot of ways is harder, but that's the thing, how I work, because I like, I tune out when I'm doing detail work, when I'm
analytical,
just like,
stuff.
That's a real, that's where my happy, safe, I'm there space is.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. Like it's, but
definitely.
It is different.
And I think when, I think because I've done so much of this thinking, I needed to have a break from that. And so the abstract art is much more feeling. It's much more, it's more intuitive. It's much more emotion driven. It's much more, there's nothing, there's no, I can't go wrong. I in my mind, I decided, you know, the first two pieces I didn't love that much, but again, it wasn't about loving them. It was about just feeling the paint and the colors. And by the time I did those first two, I felt warmed up. And then by the time I did the last one, it ended up being my favorite, you know? So I created like 8 pieces on paper, and the more I created, the more into it I got, and the more like, oh yes, this is what I want to make, and these marks feel good, and this color feels good. And I could have kept going for, you know, forever, but obviously I had time constraints.
It's interesting because that was the abstract is sort of what first got you back into painting as well. Like, it's interesting that that's what you turn to when you need to dip your toe back in the water or get something for yourself out of it.
Definitely. It's so therapeutic. It, for me, it's so healing. it feels so, it just feels like doing some really lovely exercises, like, you know, when you're doing yoga or something, as opposed to going for a run. It's like, for me, it felt like all I've been doing is running this marathon, and I just need to stop and do some yoga. And and I think this year is a bit like a marathon in a sense that it feels like a long time. Like, I know a year will go quickly, but and my husband's been really supportive, amazingly supportive. But when I was feeling a bit sad the other day, a bit like, had a bit of a strangely, I had a bit of a wee cry, sort of out of the blue.
Doesn't sound like you at all.
No, because I was like, I miss painting. I miss my studio. And he was kind of like, you know, because his job is sitting, doing academic work all day, every day. That's his job. And so he's kind of like, oh, it's only a year. It'll fly by and you'll be fine, you know. And but his release is doing exercise. And I was like, imagine if someone said you couldn't do exercise for a whole year, or like, you know, you only had 2 hours every couple of weeks to do it, and you knew that you couldn't do it every day like you used to. How would you feel? I was like trying to, you know, talk to him on his level, and he was like, oh yeah, that would be, yeah, I'd probably be quite sad.
That is a really good way of framing it so that he would understand, though, and because it can, I think it can be hard for people to understand if they see it as just being a job or a hobby or something that you sort of just dabble in. It's not. It's a real, it's a need. I always feel that when I've been away on holidays and I'm just itching to get back to the studio, and I describe it as itchy feet. Like, it's this uncomfortable feeling if I haven't been in the studio.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And it was also a good lesson in gratitude. Like, I've, you know, realised how lucky I was to have all the time that I have had in the past few years to, you know. And I know at the time I didn't take it for granted, but, you know, it's not until something's gone that you realize how.
I don't think you know, can.
It's not till you have,
you need a different perspective to even see it. Otherwise it is just is what you've always, it was just your normal.
Done. Yeah. And as soon as you have that, like, I know that next year when I hopefully we'll be able to do, you know, 2 or 3, you know, we ideally would love to have 2 days a week where I get to go to the studio. Those 2 days, I'm not wasting a scrap of any second in those 2 days, you know. I will be so pumped, I'll be so excited, and I don't know what will come out, you know, but I just know that I will be so grateful for the opportunity. And I'm just trying to keep that as the eye on, you know, as the eye on the prize type thing.
But
and know that, like, yeah, I'll get there.
You will. And I think it's gonna have so many different rewards for you. Both having that fallback position that you can feel a bit more secure, and then also appreciating that side of your art practice is really quite amazing. And it's I've had a few moments like that myself this summer, where last year I felt such an intense lack of time, and over summer where a lot of those sort of really, what were we calling them last year? Crunchy deadlines have gone. I have been really appreciating being an artist again, like the flexibility that I get from being an artist and how well it fits in with my family. And sometimes that, you know, don't get me wrong, when things go, get awkward and kids get sick and it's me who has to sort of step out of my job to sort of pick up the pieces, I do sometimes get a little bit, oh, it's taking away from my art time. But sometimes I also think, how many different careers are there where you can just be as flexible as you need it to be, and where I do love going out to the studio every day. And I think when you have those moments of recognizing that, it's really special.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that's me. That's pretty much where I'm at. In a nutshell. but how about you? I have really missed talking to you. I have found it sad. It's been another sadness in my lamentful life.
It has. It's
not
been...
having, you know, daily connections with you like we used to. But you know, like, again, feels like a really special treat to use this time today to talk to you. And it also made me realise how lucky I am. Oh, I'm going to cry again.
That was a hat trick. It's the third time this episode.
You know, to have you and your support. And
I have felt a little bit like a limb is missing, but it's one of those things where I'm like, no, you're doing a good thing for you, and that's important. And I will still be here, and your studio will still be there, and your art practice will still be there whenever you need them. And I think sometimes you're doing something for you. But I get that it doesn't always seem – it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do, to pick up and put everything on hold for a while, especially when it's something that you love. I think sometimes that's an even harder thing to do than picking up and leaving a career that you don't love to start on something new. So, yeah, I am really proud of you.
Okay, we're going to talk about you now.
I've had an odd summer, so – I've had a moment with my clouds. I'm doing a few fun things with my flowers, but I think what would be more interesting to talk about is, so post the exhibition, and I think it's, so my flowers had all sold before opening night, and the clouds, there was sort of three from the exhibition that were still left at the end of the show. And I know that that's a really great sell through, but in my head, and I knew that, so this would probably happen, and I think I guessed it before we even went into the show.
Yeah.
But I went out feeling way less confident about my clouds and thinking, oh, are they not what I think they are? Like, I really love doing them, but are they not translating well? I had a bit of a confidence lapse, and I had a commission to do that I started it and I felt like I was forcing it. And then I got really into it.
A big cloud commission.
By the end of it, I was really loving it again, and I was really glad actually that I'd taken on that commission, because I think otherwise I would have let the clouds go for maybe too long, if that makes sense. You know, when they say I remember after I had a car accident once and I was really scared to drive, and my dad almost made me get in the car and just do little trips down to the shops and stuff. It felt like I had to be in there every day finishing this commission, because it was not a really big deadline, but it was a manageable one. But I would have just put it off if it wasn't already set in stone.
Locked in.
And so by the end of that, I had started to get my confidence back, and I have since not painted any clouds, but I found three photos that I am just itching to paint. And to me, that's like, all right, they're still there. I'm not finished with them. I feel that need to paint them. And it's like, okay, all right, I need to just let go of the whatever it is that creeps in when things don't sell, and let that go. Well, this and is focus
this,
on
this idea, isn't it? When you attach too much of the success to whether or not they sell, like that is, it gets in your head, and it can really mess with you. And obviously, you know, as you're a full-time artist, that is your career, that's your job. So painting things that don't sell will impact that career. But the fact that you have those multiple subjects that you paint allows that freedom, you know, that you have confidence, and you have there is security in your flowers because they do sell.
Yeah.
But so important to still acknowledge that you really do love painting the clouds, even though they might not be the you know, the best sellers.
It's funny, I can usually separate the sales from what I want to do a little bit, but I've really got inside my head after that show. And it's funny because from the outside, I'm sure people sort of went, oh no, that was a really, what is she talking about? Successful, that was successful. And there was, I was talking to my mentor, who has since stopped mentoring, unfortunately. And she was saying, no, at the show, lots of people were talking about the clouds more so than the flowers. Like, I think sometimes the work that impacts people or that reaches people that people love, and it's just they haven't found their forever homes yet. That doesn't.
Yeah.
And then also I think it's, you've got to paint what you want to paint. And I would definitely, it's been nice to feel that pull again towards a couple of different compositions and think, okay, I need to stretch those canvases and get that happening, which is exciting. I've had a few moments that show that I was really excited about in New York didn't come through because I didn't have my work in any public collections. And so that was like a little bit of a, oh, okay, I've got a few things I need to put on my art agenda, I think, and I still haven't.
What does that mean, public collections? Does that mean like in a museum or gallery like somewhere?
Either held by a significant collector or in a public institution, whether it's like a big, like there are lots of places that'd be.
A library or like a hospital or somewhere where they put things up. I get
that's all right. That gives me something to aim for. I was feeling really deflated by it, but that's, you know, these things. It's kind of nice to know where the gaps are.
Well, and it's good that you knew why.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is great.
Because if they just turned you down or said, nah, it's not going to work, but not giving you that feedback, you wouldn't know that that was a criteria.
Mm. And also, I think I've been wanting to push my flowers in a new direction lately, and I have. It's been a really fun thing to think about and experiment with, and taken a bunch of photos of different things that are sort of outside of my normal wheelhouse.
Yeah, and I think I saw your different, like, what would you call it? Like a much, much more bouquet type. Oh,
it's more of an arrangement. Yeah, but I've got a.
Well, what do you call it? Is that the wrong word? Where you've got more than one type of flower and one.
Yeah. Yeah. So having a play with that, which is, I've got no plans for. I've got a few other little images in my head that are just very, for me, they're very, someone else will look at them and think they're still a flower. Like, what is she talking about? So different. But for me, that's quite, I think.
Change is very incremental with Julie.
Well, I think when I changed to do the clouds, I've struggled with that in my head. For quite a while, like in terms of, I feel like I need to justify it to people. And so any future change, I'm then like, oh, are people going to not get it? Or, and then I sometimes just have to think, oh, it's not about other people. It's about what I want to do sometimes. And I feel like I took January to just sort of, I had quite a bit of time away from the studio and felt like I'd taken a little bit of mat leave even, which was great.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time with my kids and stuff, and I think taking that pressure off has felt, I've been really loving my practice lately, and that's something I'm probably going to get a little bit more protective about, like making sure I've got space so that I can do what I want as well as doing all the other bits and pieces that help me tick along financially. So, and I guess it makes me appreciate the commissions too, to be honest. So yeah, that's been, I guess, little bits and pieces of what's going on. I feel like there's so much more.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, we don't have to cover it all today. Because it will be, it's hard. Like, I didn't take any notes over the past 3 months. How long has it been? December, January.
I think the last one we recorded was November, so 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. That's a really long time.
That's right. I mean,
we didn't even celebrate that we, you know, got to 1 year since the first podcast came out. It kind of just slithered by. But yeah.
Well, we can celebrate that now. It doesn't, you know, these things, as we said in the last episode, which feels a little bit, you know, persistency over consistency, and that's okay. We'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it might just be that it's a bit ad hoc. And when we record because there's a gap and there's also a reason to come together and talk. So is there anything else you want to sort of touch on before we kind of wrap things up?
No, I mean, I've got plenty of stuff in the works at the moment, and there's stuff that I think I'll just save for next time. So I'm in the middle of redoing all my business cards and collateral and that sort of stuff, which is an exciting little project, which I'm keen to share. And just, yeah, it's a thing that often we don't think about, but I have been wanting to sort of do up my, I guess, branding a little bit. And I'm looking into like freight boxes and stuff like that as well at the moment. So, but it's very much all just works in progress, and I haven't seen final products for any of it yet, but I'm very excited about it. And then in the background, I'm dabbling with the idea of starting another little pod for this year just to keep me busy. I don't know. I felt like there's a gap, and so I fill it with too many things. My usual, but it's very much, I haven't even started it, so that might be a few months away. It's just a thought process at the moment. But yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh well. Don't get too into it, and then don't want to do this one.
I will always be here for this one.
Yeah, I had really wanted to do some online tutorials. That was my plan. That was plan A, actually, until plan B came along. So I do feel a bit bad because I'd sort of said over the summer, like, oh, yes, I'm going to turn this into a tutorial. And then now it's like I literally haven't got time to eat lunch. So I will at some stage revisit that idea, I hope. But it might not be till next year now.
It'll be interesting to see whether the work this year informs how easy or whether it's recording the tutorials, if you've learned anything from the teaching process in general, like it'll be.
Yeah. Teaching the kids last week kind of made me sort of realise that, you know, there's potential for not just doing adult online courses. There's, you know, children benefit so much from art, like creating art. And it was interesting, you know, hearing a few of the children were like, oh, I can't draw, I'm no good at art, you know. It's already a narrative that they have. And I'm just like, no, I will not have those words spoken in the classroom. We are all artists. So, you know, just that's making me kind of think about like a potential for future.
I can see you doing something really awesome in that space. I think that you'd really resonate with getting that message across, and sort of, I reckon that when you stop fighting the imposter syndrome at being a teacher, especially with your own tutorials and stuff like that, and then being able to translate into not having the imposter syndrome with your art and getting,
it's definitely been a lesson in that, you know, feeling like massively at the beginning, like this is too hard and I'm not good enough and I can't do this. And then, you know, just finishing things, sending them off, getting a result back and going, oh, well, I did pass that. I did get an all right grade. And then it's like, okay, so who is it that's telling me, where is this voice that's telling me I'm not good enough coming from? And where is this voice that's saying that I'm not capable? It's kind of like therapy. a year of therapy that I'm paying to do. But yeah, who knows? I've got to try and repackage it in my brain as like a, because I actually love learning and I love knowledge. I need to, once I tell myself that like I can do it and that I'm good at it, everything becomes easier and less, what's that word? Like, it's less resistance.
Mm.
I feel like I've always had like a resistance to upskilling because I have this narrative that I'm not good enough. And it's the perfectionism thing, you know, creeping in. When I allow myself to just think I can do this and I'm good at it, that feeling, it becomes much more easeful,
yeah,
and enjoyable. So yeah, it's kind of just, yeah, immersing myself in a can do, you know, growth mindset thing that I'm, you know, that's all what the kids are being taught at the moment. And it's like me having to also take that on board for myself and remind myself that I don't know what I don't know, and it's okay to not know it yet. And that's the whole point of this course, that I learn and that I've got the ability to learn. So I just need to allow myself to learn without the fear of the fear that I don't know it yet. That's something that I've always had a hang up about, not knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that comes from childhood and feeling kind of, I guess, ADHD child in the classroom, constantly not feeling like they know what's going on, constantly being told that they're not paying attention. It's yeah, ingrained in me, I guess. So I'm trying to kind of reprogram myself. But anyway, it's been nice to see your face.
It's been so nice to see your face. I've missed this. I'll have to try and see if we can fill the gaps with a few more of these little episodes. So they will be coming at you when we have time to make them.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Just make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss when they come out.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any warning. It's just going to be pew. There it is.
We decided we were going to do this one about an hour ago. So
literally, I was like, something's come up when I can't do this thing. So I have like time now. It's now or never.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you everyone for tuning in and listening. It's we appreciate that you've stuck around and we've loved all the messages, and it's, you know, it's really nice to be back in your ears.
Yeah, so I guess if there's stuff you want us to talk about, send us a message, send us a DM, or you can email us even, failedlikeanartist@gmail.com, and we can, you know, see if we've got time. If questions or topics, we can just kind of throw them together and cobble it, and it'll be what it'll be. You can help us create the podcast when we have time.
Cool. Yay.
Okay.
All right. Well,
all right.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you. And make sure you keep failing.
See you, mate.
See you, Julie.
Bye.
Bye.